is the next week of our apologize class. Let me make sure I'm recording since I'm using something new here just to make sure. Yes, it does look like I am. Alright. So, let's go back to slideshow. Started out. Alright, this week we are talking about naturalism. Naturalized epistemology, or methodological naturalism, or scientific naturalism, which focuses on epistemology. If you remember, we were talking about epistemology, it's how or why you know what you know. This stance is concerned with knowledge. What are the methods for gaining trustworthy knowledge of the natural world? It is an epistemological view that is specifically concerned with practical methods for acquiring knowledge, irrespective of one's metaphysical or religious views. Supposedly. That's the Wikipedia entry for it. It's not irrespective of one's metaphysical or religious views. It is a metaphysical or religious view. Because it has to do with how you gain knowledge. Well, if it was irrespective of religious views, it wouldn't be putting forward its own opinion on how you gain knowledge, would it? That's why I thought that would be interesting to show you guys. Requires that hypotheses be explained and tested only by reference to natural causes and events. What is that? Just chop the feet out from under beforehand, presuppositionally. Explanations of observable effects are considered to be practical and useful. Pragmatism. Only when they hypothesize natural causes, i.e. specific mechanisms, not indeterminate. Are miracles in the Bible ever indeterminate? Is there ever no determination? Where did that came from? No. God does things so that it will be seen that it was Him. That's the specific reason why miracles occur in Scripture. It's determinate, determined. Methodological naturalism is the principle underlying all of modern science. Or, that's what they tell you. Now, secular modern science?
Yeah,
that's exactly what it is. But when you're talking about empirical data or empirical studies, yes, you're only looking at the data itself. But how are you looking at the data? Are you looking at it just with no conception of it beforehand? There's a reason you're looking at the data to begin with. There's a method which you are taught to look at the data by. Nothing is just a brute fact. Remember we talked about that before? There's always some kind of prism that you're looking through data through. So as we proceed to give an example of this, keep this in mind. There is no basis for naturalism to be true. There never is. Further, if it is true, nothing can be true. It's self-defeating. If the only things that are natural things. Is there a natural explanation for truth? Is there a natural explanation for right? Is there a natural explanation for the way things should be? There is no basis for those. All of those are immaterial concepts. But naturalism is materialistic. So all these immaterial things have no basis whatsoever. There is no standard for the truthfulness of cosmic broccoli. Remember that from that debate a while back? One way or another. This is the chief failure of secular philosophy. It gives us no reason to think it is true. So what I'd like to do first is run through a conversation I had online not too long ago. It's with a young man from Turkey who I've dialogued with for quite some time in several places. My fellow conversationalist is a man named Brian Knapp, an elder at a church in Virginia. My blog list had a site called Choosing Hats. It seems kind of like an odd name, but it refers to Van Til's statement that choosing an epistemological framework or an epistemology is not like choosing a hat. You don't just pick one up off the rack, carry it around and put it on for a while, and then take it off and put it back. That's not how it works. That's how you view everything around you. It's a blog devoted to promoting and defending presuppositional apologetics, which is what I've been teaching you in this class. So we'll go ahead and jump into the conversation. The young man's nickname is Dios Mio. He is an atheist living in largely Muslim Turkey, but is obviously westernized more than most countries in the area, or he wouldn't be having this conversation to begin with. He is well-read, and he's been dealing with me and friends of mine for a long time. I've known him probably almost 3 years now. You guys will know me. My nickname, of course, is Razor's Kiss. That's my usual online name. So this is his opener. Is Christianity true, or is atheism true? Christianity is true, yes. So he says, how do you know? Well, because God reveals himself through Scripture. And those who are believers, in a nature, to both show this to be true and to verify it as true. Well, I was thinking about evolution, he says. If it is true, then we are just accidents. And our existence is just pointless. Thank you. That's exactly what I want to see the atheists coming into the room saying. So if it is true, then evolution results in. He says, I honestly think that Christians are the best people. So I reply to him, I don't think we're the best people. I think we've been given incredible gifts that we don't deserve. He says, the Christian worldview has hope, contrasted with the bleak worldview of evolution and atheism. I would rather be around Christians than cynical atheists or violent and dumb Muslims. And he's living in a Muslim country. I didn't say it. Just for anybody listening to this, so I tell him, Dios, that's why we're told to always be ready to give an answer for the hope that is within us. And so would I, referring to his comment earlier, because Christians share something in common, God in them. He says, yes, but I don't think you have an adequate answer. Well, Dios, the answer isn't mine. That's the problem. We give an answer, but the answer is what Scripture commands us to give. He says, because unfortunately, evolution is true. It doesn't mean we must forsake our belief in our worth as human beings. Really? Is that true? If we surrender to the world of science, we will lose the meaning of our world. Wait. So, a belief in our worth as human beings, that's meaning, right? But if we surrender to the world of science, we lose that meaning. Now, what he means by the world of science is one that presupposes that evolution is true. So he's already kind of contradicting himself. So I tell him, if you assume that a priori, or that's Latin for beforehand, I can't convince you otherwise, especially if you understand that it results in meaninglessness. And he says, it's not about assuming it. I just can't reject it when there's so much evidence. Yes, its results are devastating. Talking about evolution again. Well, it's the evidence only is meaningful if you assume certain things beforehand. I can look at the same piece of evidence he can and come to a vastly different conclusion. Mm-hmm. Why is that? Presuppositions. All evidence is filtered through our assumptions. But, you know, as I told you, he and I have gone back and forth quite a bit. We've gone over that before. Dio says true, but it's pointless to talk about whether evolution is true. Obviously, because he's already said it results in meaninglessness. But let's talk about its implications. It offers a world devoid of value. So the main problem, do you accept scientists as having the correct assumptions? That's me. Or do you accept God's self-revelation to mankind? Well, he says, I believe that the debate about evolution is one scientists cannot lose in their own field. Remember we were talking about common ground? That's why there's no common ground. Not like they're talking about. It's their own field. They define everything. It starts with their assumptions. It ends with their assumptions. There is no way out of that box unless you step out of the assumptions to begin with. So I tell them, remember, science relies on the assumption that only material things are real and that uniformity is required to see the same result. However, that scientific assumption also says that the process that results in the evolution of humans is a random process, not uniform. You can't have it both ways. He says, looking at the world from science's perspective alone results in many contradictions. Well, is it uniform or is it random? It's me again. But you can't assume it to be uniform without a real underlying meaning for the laws that give it regularity. You can't assume the random evolving processes unless you reject the uniformity of nature. They're contradictory principles, but yet scientists hold to both. Dio says, well, we're facing a paradox. You cannot reject the findings of science, and at the same time, the results of science threatens to undermine our human world. He says it. He says it right out there. I know. I'd like to tell you that this conversation ends well and he becomes a Christian. It doesn't. I actually reposted this probably about 9 months ago to remind him of this conversation we had before. Because he came back and he's just as arrogant as ever before this. So my question to him is, why? Because it comes to the data with certain assumptions. The paradox, contrary to what he's telling us, the paradox is that people accept a self-contradictory system. This is an interesting statement. That's why I put it all by itself. The results of science threaten to undermine even the starting assumptions of science itself. They do. He's exactly right. Here's my reply to him. Yes, they do. But it's not science doing it. It's the assumptions that science is approached with by scientists. You don't approach facts in a vacuum. There aren't any brute facts. They are facts, but they are always interpreted in the light of your philosophy or worldview, your system of thinking. When your worldview is self-defeating, what can you expect of the results of it? Dio says, yes, that is a common Vantillian theme. It is correct. It is correct. See, he knows what I'm talking about. He and I have gone around and around and around. My reply, my worldview can stand on its own principles and not defeat itself. The materialistic evolutionist cannot account for his own principles within his own worldview. Dio says, it is like when we said earlier that the results of science threaten to undermine the starting assumptions of science. He repeats it. My reply, to make them meaningful, he has to pull aspects from elsewhere, which shows its bankruptcy. Remember, you have to borrow from my worldview to argue your worldview at all. Everything I know is because of the foundation of my system, not in spite of it. There's Brian that comes in, BK. Did someone mention Van Til? Because he actually took a couple classes from, I don't remember if it was, it was someone real close to Van Til. And he's probably the purest Vantillian I've ever met, a lot closer to me. So, if evolution is true, Dio says, it doesn't matter what one believes anyway, because it doesn't matter whether one believes in evolution or Christianity, really. I guess so.
If evolution is true.
If evolution is true. Isn't that interesting, though? And further, it doesn't matter what evolution says, right, because it may or may not be true. It undercuts its own foundation for whether or not anything is true. He says, truth itself becomes meaningless. Like, this is the guy we both know. Refuses to use the word truth. There's a guy that we talked to, he will not use the word truth. Because he takes us to his logical conclusion. There's no such thing. So, correct. So let me ask you, do we not have minds that think, and think logically, or can, should? Yes, certainly. If this is so, the materialistic account of origins has no explanation, and in fact denies the very concept used to formulate it. Dio says, then there's the argument of Plantinga against evolutionary naturalism. It's called the evolutionary argument against naturalism, but basically that by the principles evolution considers, considered by evolution, naturalism can't be the case, or that evolution can't be the case assuming naturalism. They basically eat each other up, that by the principles of one, you can't have the other by the principles of, so whatever. It's an interesting argument, but I would it's pretty crazy.
Is that
That's all the, yeah, that's also the author of Born to Christian Belief. So, the next thing is, what possible reason is there to hold to the truth of a system that results in the denial of truth itself? Is that even coherent? Can it make sense at all? Well, his response is, the thing is, the evolutionary worldview leaves us in a world devoid of any value or meaning, undermining the philosophical foundations of biology and all science. He's still on his little cape there. Well, it says, basically, that we're doing nothing, for nothing, and know nothing. What possible reason is there to hold to such a thing? There is nothing to hold to. And Dios' response is, we are meant to believe in some sort of God. He starts out really great. I'm just thinking, yes! Finally. So my response to that is, yes, we are. Scripture declares that very succinctly in many places. What scientists look at are all God's facts, must be interpreted according to God's principles, by which he governs and sustains the universe. I should put his universe to make that. When you fail to do that, all you end up with is nihilism. But, this is really sad right here, but I think we must just accept that paradoxical situation. The science ultimately undermines itself and shatters our worldview. Because denying science, I think that our existence is built upon such a foundation that they can only hold together if we look at it from a religious theistic point of view. But that doesn't mean that there is a God. I don't think there is a God, but just the truth is meant to be contradictory and irrational. Meant to be. My response, I think that the problem isn't denying science. I don't deny science. I deny the assumptions that the typical scientist uses to interpret the data he sees. If truth is irrational and has no grounds, it is not truth. His response is, well, you deny the evolution part. Yeah, but that's the paradoxical nature of our existence. Evolution has no real data to support it. It is completely philosophical in nature. If you really look at it, it is. There's no data behind evolution. It's the assumption. Deus says, because, see, evolution is indeed true, and scriptural religions are made up. I don't think you have the biological credentials to dispute evolution. The sentence before that, scriptural religions are all made up. Do you have the theological credentials to dispute theology? It doesn't take a biology PhD to realize that there are no transitional forms. There is no way to explain evolutionary biology. That there is no evidence whatsoever of a complex organism evolving in an interspecies manner. Not to mention the fact that even a cursory examination of the chemical composition, its ultimate complexity, the generally irreducible aspects of so many other systems, and only the human body, let alone those of a myriad of animals, cannot possibly lead an observer to surmise that the debate is evidential in any way. It cannot be. That's a simplistic view of biology. Well, it was an off-the-cuff response to an off-the-cuff comment. I wasn't writing a paper. So yeah, it's going to be short and to the point. So he posted a quote. It's a pointless battle, which science cannot lose on its own ground, and where any gains to the attackers would only be discreditable reflections of political power. Meanwhile, both sides seem to overlook the fact that the exercise is irrelevant. The march of science, in fact, encounters unbreachable limits already clearly perceived and defined by Kant. The philosopher basically said that, oh, but there just comes a point where we just can't know. We don't know anymore. They put some limits to some site. Well, the fact is, I would again argue that those limits are the limits of any system which is self-defeating. Would you think? If there's limits, it's because you put them in there by having a system that's self-defeating. So he says, well, actually check this page. It's written especially about evolution versus creationism. Well, it cannot explain, account, or argue any of its conclusions successfully to a meaningful, knowable foundation if it's self-defeating. You can only reduce it to a supposed paradox in every case which is just a way of saying, I can't answer that. Almost every time I hear paradox, that's what it really means. If you really break it down, there's a real thing in like leftist liberal theology to use paradox and tension and all these other things. It just means I can't answer that. That's all it means. And I really don't like that word because I hear it too often just to mean I can't answer that. So then he posts another quote. We must then ask, is science naturalistic? The answer to that is yes, because naturalism, properly understood, is a method, an empirical method, which is the very essence of modern science ever since Galileo. The intelligent design theorists want to claim empirical justification themselves. Now, notice, empirical means naturalism. Naturalism is empirical. So if we say empirical, we have to mean naturalistic. Want to claim an empirical justification themselves, but the assumptions that they introduce into their method are inconsistent with the very logic of scientific method, which, of course, is definitionally naturalistic. So we can't have empiricism without naturalism. Brian comes in. I don't think there's God, but just the truth is meant to be contradictory and irrational. Do you mean this, Diaz? Well, yes, truth from the point of view, science destroys our human world and takes away all its value and meaning. So, truth from the point of view of science is meant to be contradictory, or truth in general? Well, this philosopher I'm quoting accepts evolution, but in philosophy is not a naturalist. He believes in meaning and value, he is actually a platonist. But I don't understand how he can believe both in evolution and meaning. Well, I mean, the greater truth about our existence, the truth is that we're just chemical accidents, that we're not intended to be. But you see him going back there, it means something, it doesn't, it means something, it doesn't, it means something, it doesn't. So Brian says, that was your point of view? It was a quote? No, it is my point of view. That philosopher has different views. He believes in value and meaning. And I say, well, we can go back and forth with quotes, yes, but I don't think it has any merit in the long run. Under naturalism, none of those words have any objective meaning. It can mean practically anything at all. Because the only meaning is what you assign, right? That's it. So Brian says, well, do you not see a problem claiming truth is supposed to be contradictory and then saying the truth is we're just chemical accidents? But Dio says, but I don't understand how he can reconcile it with evolution. And I said, he doesn't. He holds contradictory views. It's ultimately self-defeating. So Brian says, perhaps I don't understand what you mean when you say truth is meant to be contradictory. And then I'm still replying to above. Platonists cannot hold the views they do for that matter, not consistently. Then Dio says, well, Ryan, the implications of that truth causes a lot of problems for us because it takes away all value and meaning from the world. So he doesn't really get the question, I guess. But then, this is typical Dio here. That guy I'm quoting is a very intelligent philosopher. Trust me, he would put Van Til in his place. Okay, what does that mean? But you just said there is no meaning. Truth is meaningless, so you can't be holding anything meaningful by that statement. It is not truth, it is mere subjective opinion with no worth, because worth has no meaning either. Make up your mind. So Brian says, the implications of truth is meant to be contradictory. It is much more problematic than just taking away meaning and value. It means your very statement has no meaning. So Dio says, well, yeah, probably, but what can we do? It means that when you say that what you say means the opposite of what you say. It means that when you say you don't believe in God, you actually believe in God. If one's worldview undermines logic and truth, then that worldview cannot logically be true. If your worldview is true, you cannot trust the evidence of evolution and years of scientific work in the first place. In other words, your worldview refutes itself. And my answer to it is, well, what can we do? We can reject the self-refuting system is what we can. So Dio says, can we deny the evidence of evolution and years of scientific work just because it destroys our worldview and undermines the meaning of our existence and causes us paradoxes? Yeah? The thing is, you cannot reject a whole chunk of science simply with a reductio ad absurdum, reduce it to absurdity. It's an argument Well, there's no evidence under that system that there is nothing. There is no evidence under that system. There's nothing to deny or to hold. And whether you hold it or not has nothing to say in either direction. It's complete and total anarchism, with no possible meaning to anything whatsoever, including itself. And Dio says, here we have a clash between empirical evidence and the traditional foundations for human knowledge. Really? No, you're just trying to shoot something. So why bother trying to hold it then? It's nothing. There's no foundation for it. It undercuts its own foundation. Empiricism destroys itself because it results in meaninglessness and says that what you know, you do not know. And Ryan says you cannot trust that empirical evidence. Well, the thing is, science started out from humanly foundations that none of us can object to. It is just where it led in the end that makes us realize that we have a problem. And I'll just get on. Ryan says, where did it lead? Dio says, evolution. Ryan says, how do you know that? If your starting assumptions are true, it couldn't lead anywhere. Dio says, well, because evolution is taught in all biology departments. But Brian says, well, that's an appeal to authority. Your teaching of something in biology departments doesn't mean it's true, which has no authority since it results in meaninglessness by your own admission. After all, people have taught all sorts of things that we now consider incorrect in biology departments. Well, Dio says, creationist objections to evolution are worthless. Like the quote, it is a pointless battle which scientists cannot lose on their own ground. An authority without meaning is no authority. Let's not switch gears here, Dio, Brian says. You have made an assertion that science leads to evolution, a belief that it is true. I'm saying your conclusion that truth is contradictory means science does not lead to that at all. Well, evolution by natural selection is being confirmed every day. Really? It's never been falsified in the past 150 years. Really? And what is assumed during that confirmation process? That truth is not contradictory, of course. Really? Maybe that's why we're saying you're contradicting yourself. Well, Brian, I meant truth at a greater scale, as putting the implications of evolution regarding our cosmic meaning, putting its implications in context. Well, then I don't follow what you mean. What is the nature of truth, D.S. Mio? The nature of truth? Yes. How does one know when something is true? Well, obviously, truth is correspondence to reality. How do you identify something as true? Obviously? Well, if you don't count the coherence theories. Well, there's more than one school of thought on that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that begs the question. How does one know when something corresponds to reality? Well, you're not a correspondent. I'm a Christian. I thought as the atheist nihilists like Rorty who are accepting the coherence theory. Well, how does one know when something corresponds to reality? Well, you got to look and see for yourself. Well, what if two people see something different, which they quite often do? Well, then ask a third. And then what? We'll go with the majority. Why? Why not go with the one dissenter? Because visual defects, hallucinations are rare in population. How do you know that? From experience. And what do you rely upon to evaluate experience? Ultimately, my own judgment. Remember, everything always comes back to I. Always. I actually learned that from him, because I kept pulling him all the way back. Boom, I'd always hit that wall. Every time I talked to him. Do you see the circle yet? Brian says. Your senses, and yes, your own reasoning. Dio says, well, what can we do about it? That's the limit of whole capability in this issue. Brian says, you should accept an arbitrary worldview because you can't think of anything better. I said, well, we reject the self-refuting system, which grants no meaning. That's what we should do. Brian says, you're providing justification for your premise by assuming your premise. Your line of reasoning is not reasonable. Well, the alternative is skepticism. Not the Bible, obviously. That's one alternative. And I said, that's one, but not the only one. And what's the problem with that alternative? Absolute skepticism? The problem is that it refutes itself. I'm skeptical about everything except being skeptical. Oops. So therefore, it cannot logically be true. Dio says, why should the Bible be an alternative? He knows where we're going already. is, after all, something we see with our senses too. And its authors relied on their senses after all. Really. Bright says, the problem here is the worldview in question. You're approaching the Bible from a defective worldview. Thus, the Bible appears just as worthless as anything else. And that worldview, I said, has no grounds for any truth whatsoever. Dio says, I approach the Bible from all I have, my own judgment and reason and senses. I. Ryan says, you will never find a satisfactory answer as long as you approach the world from this worldview. Then I say the exact same thing almost at the same time. Thus, anything approached from that perspective will have no truth to be found in it. Brian says, as long as you approach it from all that you have, that is where you will end up, skepticism. But Dio says, there is no other point of view for us humans. Obviously. Assumption. So I say, the problem is your own assumptions, not the Bible. Brian says, obviously. So Dio says, can we transcend our subjective realm? See, he knows all the right things to say. One of the right things to say, usually. Brian says, no, we cannot, but God does. And I say right after, thankfully we have a God who is transcendent and communicates truth to us. So Dio says, yeah, but we're not God. We're always humans, always limited in our subjective point of view. Brian says, remember, we're comparing worldviews, theories of reality and knowledge, how we get to know what we know anyway. You're just assuming that we're all subjective, and we have to be subjective. You're not even looking at your own worldview. You're just assuming it to look at everything you're looking through it. Said, well, keep relying on that point of view, and it will always fail you. That's what humans do, fail. Brian says, you see that, right? You're looking at theories of reality and knowledge. Dio says, unless he communicates directly with you, it is still subject to doubt. Even the direct communication could be doubted for hallucination. Well, what was he just saying just a little bit ago? That's really rare, hallucinations and visual defects. But, you know, that, now we're just going to assume that because it fits our argument. So Brian says, what if he does communicate directly with you? Would that make a difference? Well, what if he did? Would that make the difference? Well, it would certainly be very powerful evidence that I could not deny, and I would go by. Don't appeal to evidence without considering your worldview first. And as you see, still it is my judgment that guides me. So Brian says, remember, you're still operating from a worldview that assumes the autonomy of man in reasoning. Exit. Dio says, yes, and there is no other way. Immediately, boom. Brian says, well, that is the problem. How do you know that there is no other way? You already assume that the foundation is you. Come on. There we go. Dio says, I'm always behind my own control terminal. Said, because you exclude all the other ways, a priori. Brian says, you are
behind your own control terminal?
Yes. And Brian says, how do you know that? Because of my experience. You can't know that your experience is in doubt. Remember? Everything's up for grabs. Everything's doubtful. You're doubtful. Your experiences are doubtful. Everything's doubtful. Dio says, I only doubt the external world, not my own experience. Or not that I'm having experience, or that I am, as in Descartes. That you should doubt I am. You can't even prove that. Well, certainly I don't experience my own self, so yeah, you're right. Descartes did say a blessed thing with his I think, therefore I am. Descartes made a huge assumption of that statement, Brian says. I said he might as well have said I stink, therefore I am. There's no direct correlation between I think and I am. You just assume I and I. I think I am. What's proving what there? That logic has metaphysical applicability. The problem is with your worldview. The problem isn't with evidence. Dio says, but you see, if God communicates to me, or I read the Bible, I can still doubt. If it is an hallucination or a deceiving demon playing with my mind, Brian says, if you continue to evaluate scripture from your worldview, yes. Dio says, there's no way out of human subjective perspective. Well, what I'm telling you is that your worldview is wrong. How do you know that? You can't know anything, remember? Skepticism. You doubt that you can doubt even if properly applied. So I said, Dio says, well, go ahead and show me how I can transcend my subjective perspective. And if I remember correctly, Brian sent me a private message and said, I'd be more than happy to. I said, you can't. God can't. Brian says, do you first agree that your worldview doesn't allow you to do it? Would you agree that any worldview that starts with man as the ultimate is doomed? Dio says, they can't prove God is a weak ontological argument. How do you prove? Oh, right, you don't. You just say, let's simply accept it, because otherwise we cannot solve our philosophical problems. Is that what we said? No. It's not very convincing. No. Otherwise we cannot solve our philosophical problems. That's not why. The only solution to any philosophical problem, on the other hand, is that man. That's the only solution to any philosophical problem. There are no solutions. It's not that we can't solve our problems, so we have to believe this. The only way to properly understand anything is if you're changed by God and have all of your thinking, your life, and your soul changed and renewed by God. Brian says Descartes didn't prove a thing. Well, he had an ontological argument for God. Well, Descartes proved he wasn't a very deep thinker. That's the next thing. Brian says the fact that he had an argument doesn't mean it was a sound argument. Would you agree that any worldview that starts with man as the ultimate is doomed? So tell me, how do we start the worldview of God? Dio says. You want to answer the question. Would you agree that any worldview that starts with man as the ultimate is doomed? Brian is persistent. Brian, if you call skepticism doomed, yeah. You don't. Absolute skepticism is the direct result of a worldview that begins with a subjective. Absolute skepticism refutes itself. Therefore, any worldview starting with the subjective cannot be true. So where do you start your worldview? With God. God is perfect revelation, where it should start and the only place it can start. So Brian gets into the presuppositional method right here. Consider the biblical worldview for the sake of argument, Dios mio, for our discussion. We have considered yours. That's what we've been doing all along, going through his and bringing it to its obvious conclusion. Now, we've considered yours, now consider ours. Dio says, if we doubt the external world and the Bible is part of the external world, how could I start from the theology as in the Bible? Well, that's the thing. A Christian worldview does not hold to that perspective. And Brian will tell you why. And Brian says, if the Bible is true as we read it, then God is absolute. If the Bible is true, then God has revealed himself to us. If the Bible is true, we are sinners. If the Bible is true, that sin interferes with our ability to reason. If the Bible is true, that sin interferes with our ability to be objective. If the Bible is true, there is one and only one way to know anything at all. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. If the Bible is true, what is the first thing you'd have to do? Fear God. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. If the Bible is true, how many philosophies are there? Just two. One that follows Christ, and one that does not. If the Bible is true, we must begin with God as our ultimate authority, because otherwise we can never know anything at all. In essence, if we deny God and his revelation to us, we are fools. That's the Christian worldview. Dio says, right. If the Christian's worldview is true, there is hope. If the non-Christian worldview is true, there is no hope, no knowledge, no anything. Agreed.
So sad.
1:9, because that which is known about God is evident within them. I think that's Romans 1:19. For God made it evident to them. If the Bible is true, God has already revealed himself to us. Romans 10:9. That if you confess in your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If the Bible is true, Dio, you must confess your sins. You must believe in what Christ did on the cross. You must confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Savior, Then and only then do you have a worldview that can make sense out of anything at all, even your unbelief. Brian prays that God will open your heart to this. He says, thanks. Proverbs 21:2-1. Every man's way is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. Christianity is ancient wisdom. It's hard to deny it for sure. Brian says it's more than wisdom. It's truth. It has to be. I don't know why it keeps whatever. The king's heart is like channels of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wishes. Anytime it is denied, we become fools, Brian says. Dio says, even if it was made up, it was made up by men. It must contain projections from human nature, and it makes it hard to deny. Brian says, what if it wasn't made up? What if it has always been? Brian notes you're now reverting to your worldview. Well, dude, there's a whole science of higher criticism and documentary hypothesis and such things. Brian says, the biblical worldview is that God inspired men to write this down. And my response is, it is the only way to any sort of meaning and hope in all the world. It has always been the only way, planned for from the very beginning of creation. Brian's response to his documentary hypothesis, dude, that whole science means nothing if you can't know things. Again, two worldviews. You cannot know anything unless this is true. Nada. One makes knowledge possible. One destroys it. There's only one logical choice here. That's the problem all men have. Without this, there is no knowledge, no higher criticism, no hypotheses that make any sense, let alone have any truth. Yes, I see your point. It is impossible to believe anything else and have any meaning or hope. And I accept it, that Christianity makes knowledge and meaning possible, and the alternative point of view makes it impossible. It's sad.
It is sad.
Nothing else works. The alternative point of view makes everything impossible. The difficulty is that you and all of us, Brian says, tend to slip back into that self-centered worldview. Well, that's saying a lot, Dios, what you have just accepted. And you notice he puts in quotes. He knows. Mm-hmm. It's really easy to see this. But there is more that you have to do. Because it's one thing to accept that Christians are right. It's another thing to accept the very source of truth. That's what you must do. John 3, Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There is nothing possible, nothing that makes sense, and nothing that has any truth under any other conception of reality. Nothing at all. Christianity is true because everything else is impossible to even hold the concept of true as part of it. You cannot even say that this is true in any other system of thought. You just can't. You can't. Brian, in fact, even for your denial of Christianity to make sense, you must accept that Christianity is true. Dios, I don't say you are right. Just that Christianity has meaning and hope. And atheism and science ends up in nihilism. That's for sure. But just because we are compelled to accept Christianity for such concerns doesn't make it true. What? Because it is, after all, a matter of historical. Not unless you steal from it to do so, and you are thereby inconsistent. There is no historical truth in any other system. There is no truth at all. And Brian says, well, that's basically what you've done above. Consider what you just said. Christianity has meaning and hope. Atheism and science end up in nihilism. Well, okay, there's much doubt about whether patriarchs and prophets existed at all, including Jesus itself. Historical truth has no meaning, unless you believe as a Christian does. What does it mean that patriarchs and prophets existed at all? Do you doubt that you doubt that patriarchs and prophets existed at all? Do you doubt that you doubt that you doubt? How far does it go? So Brian asked him, what's that conclusion based on? Your conclusion of doubt? And I said, there's much doubt about everything at all unless Christianity is true. It's sad. Exactly. The doubt is based upon your worldview. You cannot change what happened in history by pondering on epistemological issues. And remember, evolution itself is a historical issue. But is it true? Is it true?
Well, I actually blew through like 85 slides there. I think I'm up to like 90-something. Now that I think about it. Hold on a second. Let's see. Yeah, 91.
I've actually got the rest of the conversation here. There you go. Let's blow this up to.
Okay. So, Brian says, you cannot say anything about history without a cogent epistemology. I didn't think we were going to blow through 90 slides. That's the most slides I've ever blown through. What time is it?
10 minutes.
Wow. All right, so Dia says, okay, then we borrow Christian epistemology and look at the world, and we see that Christianity is false. This is the paradox you're facing. No, Brian says, no, you don't. You cannot borrow from Christianity and see that it's false, because if it is false, then it won't provide what's necessary to see that it's false. Dia says, of course you can. VK says, of course you can't. If Christianity is the necessary precondition, Dia says, higher criticism, history of Christianity and Judaism and evolution, you cannot borrow anything from Christianity that is true and truly see it as false. You can't. You can falsely see all sorts of things if it is corrupted by your own influence. But Christianity is the only way to have anything mean anything at all. And Brian says, but none of those make sense unless Christianity is true. You cannot rely upon a worldview and then logically conclude that worldview is untrue, because then your conclusion that it is true is based on a faulty starting point. If Christianity is necessary as a worldview to make sense out of anything, then it is truly necessary. You can't pick and choose what you take, I said, or your hybrid system collapses on the points of your own faulty assumptions grafted onto it. The things you left when you chose the things you liked are what makes the rest truly coherent. You can't just pick and choose. This isn't a buffet. Well, Dio says, you cannot prove Christianity true simply by some epistemological considerations. That's an insult to human reason. Shall we not discuss the secular analysis of history of the Bible? And of course, there's evolution. You cannot refute it with epistemology. It's an empirical science with loads of evidence. Really. So Ryan says, what does the secular analysis of the Bible assume, Dios? Well, I have in mind the documentary hypothesis and higher criticism. I said, no, we can't go back there. There's no meaning to any of it. Not within the system it assumes. It steals from Christianity, but not the necessary aspects, which include all of Christianity. If Christianity is necessary, all of it's necessary. Brian says, it assumes we can know things, does it not? Do you know that secular analysis of the history of the Bible is true? Well, Brian considered it apart from its assumptions. Impossible. We are subjective, remember. We must assume something at the start. We cannot be neutral. I said you cannot separate parts of Christianity and still get truth. You simply steal warrants that doesn't belong to you. That doesn't make anything that is born from that stolen warrant true. The problem lies in what you steal it to. Brian says you cannot claim to know that the documentary hypothesis is even meaningful unless Christianity is true. So Dio says, even if the critic of the Bible starts with Christian assumptions, and they have, it may and did end up in the results that prove Christianity a man-made religion like any other. I said, no, they did not start from Christian assumptions. Brian says, no, that's a logically impossible conclusion due to the nature of the claims made by Christianity. Dio says, well, I thought that German Bible criticism of the 18th and 19th century started as a Christian science. Well, you notice he just calls it Bible criticism. There's two different kinds. Textual criticism, I said, is not higher criticism. Textual criticism is a valid examination of the text. Higher criticism is the attempt to judge the text by an arbitrary higher standard. Dio says, well, he laid the way for higher criticism. And Brian says, at this point, all such critiques are meaningless without the worldview that makes knowledge possible. If Christianity is the only worldview that makes knowledge possible, then it must be true. End of story. And I said, yes, all of that has no point if you do not accept all of Christianity, because none of it can be true if it says Christianity is false. Brian gives it as a syllogism. A, in order to know that A is true, Christianity must be true. A is true, therefore, Christianity is true. You already gave us A above earlier in the discussion. Dio says, well, how do we know that A is true without knowing Christianity is true? Brian says, quotes him, and I accept it, that Christianity makes knowledge and meaning possible, and the alternative point of view makes it impossible. I said, it's not It's axiomatic. It's a starting point. You just know it's true. It's self-evidently true. You cannot have true knowledge apart from Christianity. The Christianity revealed in Scripture by God. Brian says, because of the impossibility of the contrary. Because any time you deny it, you destroy knowledge and meaning. You recognize this above. And then he quotes him again. Well, maybe that's a paradox we're doomed to have. There is no paradox. Well, sure. That is simply truth. If you deny Christianity, you cannot make anything meaningful. No doubt. Well, the truth is, we require God, who is truth, to have a contingent knowledge of truth. Our knowledge of truth is contingent upon God, who is intrinsically truth. There is no truth to be known apart from God, and no other way to know truth except by the revelation of God. I quote John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And Brian says, are you saying that right here and now you choose to deny Christianity? Even considering the fact that the result is, if you cannot make anything meaningful or know anything at all, the choice is in front of you. Are you asking me to ignore the whole science of biology and secular history of Christianity? What meaning does it have? We are asking you to give up meaningless death and ignorance. The only truth that can or will ever exist. Truth only has one source, God. And Jesus says, that's the paradox we're facing. Well, why are you clinging to science and biology? Not me, you. Why do you cling to science and biology, Dios? They are meaningless. Well, we are clinging to it because it's based in study and experience. It is not just speculation or myth. There is no paradox. You're clinging to meaninglessness. And that's the only problem. All based on what, Dios? Meaninglessness. But that study is meaningless, Dios. Your experience is in doubt. It is, in fact, speculation and myth. And I accept that Christianity makes knowledge and meaning possible, and the alternative point of view makes it impossible. Dios, the study becomes meaningless after considering the implications of its findings. They have no valid, truth-bearing experience, thereby rendering the study meaningless. I said, let me make a point that might help. And Brian says the conclusion refutes the process used to reach the conclusion. And Dios says, well, yeah, it's the paradoxical nature of our existence. Do you trust people you've already told us have no meaning and no way to explain why they say it's true, what they say is true, and how they claim it's true, i.e. scientists? Or do you trust the only possible source of truth, meaning, hope, and salvation? Dio says, their findings are based on sound evidence and study of many years. It's very simple. All of which has no meaning by your own admission. True, nothing. It's pointless. They can say whatever they want. You are trusting blindly in blind guides. I have to ponder about this subject more, but now I have to leave. It's been a great discussion. Thanks, both of you. They are blind, they lead the blind, and they will both fall into a pit of nihilism with no way to even find a way out, even if they could recognize it. So we can continue another time, okay? I wish he'd come back later that day. I really wish he did, but he didn't. And Brian says, thank you for listening. We're praying for you. I said, sure, but remember, there's only one truth and only one way to truth. We'll be praying. Remember, Diaz, I told you I'd be praying for you over a year ago. I have been. He says, yeah, thanks, man. He said, there are no accidents in God's world, only his truth. Come back. Yes, maybe. Okay, talk to you later. That was it. And the next time he came back, he was just as arrogant and full of himself as ever. But that's the best of conversations when they haven't been drawn by the Father. That's the best. Yeah. It's sad. It really is.
It is sad.
He knows he has no hope. No meaning. No truth. But he wants it to be there so bad. But on his terms. That's what's sad. He wants on his terms and only on his terms. And
I just think that with the grace of God,
yeah. Yeah. That's what I say about atheism all the time. It's nothing to me. Definitely nothing to me. Alright, well, I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up, and we will pause it there.
Who was this one?
He is an elder at a church in Virginia. I've known him for a long time. He's a real good guy. And he'll probably listen to